objects cannot exist without space. So when objects are sent packing, space has to hit the road. And since space is in a relativistic relationship with time, according to Einstein, time doesn't get to hang around either. The present state of physics, in some quarters at least, has gotten this far. The perspective in which matter, energy, other physical quantities, time, and space are deprived of absolute fixed reality can be called weak dualism. Because, as heroic as it is to depose the material universe, we haven't arrived at wholeness yet. Once it occurs to the mind that the material universe was mind-made all along, there's not much reason for the mind to trust itself. Some scientists contemplate the mind's ability to create qualia and conclude, wrongly, that there is no meaning to anything, that the whole cosmos is pointless. This loss of confidence can be productive, however, if it motivates the next stage of the journey to wholeness. In order to stop believing in self-created illusions, the conditioned mind is also served an eviction notice, this time by itself. Only then can cosmic mind enter as a replacement. It's rather like a cardiologist performing a heart transplant on himself, only trickier. Rupert Spira, a brilliant spiritual teacher, calls this the acceptance that some things are not mental events. Death is one example. The mind would like to survive death, Spira jokes, so that it can come back and say what the experience was like. In its nature, the mind isn't an activity at all, but something else. Just as a lake isn't essentially the waves that ripple across its surface, the mind isn't the activity of thinking, feeling, sensing, or imagining. A lake is a still body of water. The mind is awareness without waves. This is the unchanging backdrop of everything that comes and goes. There are no longer any mental events to cling to. And steadily, over time, silent mind becomes like home, like a resting place where you truly belong. The good news is that lacking mental events, the mind doesn't die. Instead, it does exactly what was required all along. It changes state. In this case, the change is from constant thinking, wishing, fearing, desiring, and remembering, that is, the experience of separation, to a state in which one is simply conscious, aware, and awake, that is, the experience of wholeness. The choice to make this shift is ours. Being infinitely flexible, reality permits the experience of separation to be totally convincing, and the experience of wholeness to be totally convincing. But the two states certainly feel different. Here are some examples of how separation is experienced. What separation feels like. You see yourself as an isolated individual. You listen to the demands of your ego and place I, me, and mine ahead of other people's. You are powerless in the face of mighty natural forces. The basics of survival require work, struggle, and worry. You long to join with another person in order to solve the problem of loneliness. The constant cycle of pleasure and pain is inescapable. You may find yourself prey to mental states beyond your control, such as depression, anxiety, hostility, and envy. The external world dominates over the inner world. Hard reality is inescapable. When you ask other people if they are in the same state of separation as yourself, it turns out that they are. Since everyone is in the same soup, it becomes accepted as reality. What's fascinating about this list isn't how much misery it outlines, although there is more than enough of that. The fascination lies in the linkage between everything on the list and the behavior of the universe. As several quantum pioneers pointed out, the universe displays whatever the experimenter is looking for. By contrast, here is what it feels like after the illusion of separation has fallen away. What being real feels like. You are not in the universe. The universe is in you. In here and out there are mirror reflections of each other. Consciousness is continuous and present in everything. It is the one reality. All the separate activities in the universe are actually one activity. Reality isn't just fine-tuned. It is perfectly tuned. Your purpose is to align yourself with the creativity of the cosmos. The next thing you feel like doing is the best thing you can do. Existence feels free, open, and without obstacles. Mind and ego still exist, but they get a lot more time off. Knowing who you really are, you set off to explore unknown possibilities. Probably the first point, the universe is in you, seems the most baffling. As a declarative statement of physical fact, it borders on the absurd, since billions of galaxies obviously cannot be confined inside a human being. Where would they be? Inside the skull? Clearly not. But the universe is in you comes at the end of a journey. It's not an isolated idea. Along the journey, we saw that every experience occurs as qualia. In other words, qualities like color, taste, and sound. Since qualia occur in consciousness, they aren't limited by physical dimensions. No one can boast, "Blue is a much bigger color for me than it is for you." Or, "I keep my vocabulary in a locker in Los Angeles because I go there so often."